And Tim, I see you in the audience. Very good. Should we move into the briefing then?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I have anything specific I have to read in front of a briefing, so welcome. And if you could just state your name for the record.
Thank you, I will. I'm Teresa Boyle with the City's Bureau of Transportation, and I'm here today to kind of kick off the presentation today. This will be interesting because it doesn't look like I have control over this from here. So no, I don't. So I can tap dance in the meantime. I saw many of you earlier this summer with the Southwest Corridor Light Rail Project in its environmental phase. This is a project of a similar nature in that it is a partnership between TriMet and the City of Portland, with Metro leading the environmental analysis. So today's briefing will give you an overview of the project. This is the first time that the project has been to Landmarks. And why did that not come up on? All right, well, so sorry, it's not coming up on your screen. I have this great agenda that you could all be looking at. Sorry, I thought you guys had set that
up.
This is really going to be a drag if this PowerPoint doesn't work. Okay, great. We're going to try this again. The agenda.
There you go.
Yes. So I will not be doing this presentation. TriMet and Metro and their consultant will be. But you'll hear a little bit about the project itself and the evaluations they've been doing to date about what the project features are in the public right-of-way and what the resources in the area are. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity for comment and question. And I believe also for your consideration, if you wish to provide some sort of written response endorsing the recommendations that the project team has, that's a useful thing for record. It's certainly not required of you, but could be helpful. All right.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Michael Kaiser. I'm a TriMet. I am the project manager for Division Transit Project. Currently, TriMet manages the design and construction component of this project, and Metro oversees the environmental aspects, which will conclude in a documented categorical exclusion as part of this federal project. I'm going to give a brief overview today of the project to kind of set Metro up to kind of run through their work for your feedback. So Division Transit Project is a bus rapid transit project running from downtown out to Gresham, approximately 15 miles. We utilize in some sections like downtown and Orange Line existing infrastructure, and then build new infrastructure for primarily stops, signals, and other street improvements as we go down Division and out to Gresham. In total, there are 42 stations. Each station is broken up into two platforms, one on the north side of the street, one on the south side. So roughly, I think it's 83 platforms total. The project route, as you can see, is primarily on Division, with station spacing approximately a third of a mile apart. We do replace what is now the line 2, what used to be line 4, to provide this service at new stations that we'll be building as part of this project. I guess the intent of the project itself is to provide a higher level of service in general, one that is more reliable, has faster travel times, and overall result in a kind of safer experience along Division itself. Much of this is achieved through transit signal priority because we do not have dedicated lanes. We have stop reductions to expedite bus movement through the corridor. Higher capacity vehicles are a major part of how we improve reliability. And all door boarding for three doors on these articulated vehicles. As we kind of move out into the East County from 82nd out, the bus stations change slightly to relate, or I guess respond to the context, bicycle, dedicated bike lanes that exist from 82nd out. And I'll talk a little bit about that as we move into stations. As I mentioned, we are using new 60-foot articulated bus. It's a style of bus that we currently do not have on our system, but have used in the past. We incorporated business access and transit lanes, which help buses move more quickly through congested intersections and segments of the alignment. The stations themselves are equipped with more amenities, more lighting, more capacity with the shelters, and better accommodations overall. At some, we may have also kind of ticketless or electronic validation for fares, but the operations of it will be similar to light rail as far as fare enforcement is concerned. There will not be fare validation at the front door because people will be flowing on and off at all three doors. Much of our budget goes to signal improvements to upgrade the whole alignment, make it a more intelligent alignment from a signaling and technology perspective. And that should not only result in buses moving more quickly, but traffic possibly moving more fluid as well. A number of ADA improvements will happen along the line, and a lot of elements that will improve the safety overall of the corridor will be part of this work in partnership with the City of Portland's Outer Division Multimodal Safety Project. So a lot of momentum is leveraging improvements from a number of projects along this corridor, which I think as partners we're all quite happy with. We are in the process for receiving federal funds, which we hope to do secure that Small Starts grant agreement in the fall of 2019, at which time we anticipate starting construction in the fall of next year. Construction is anticipated to last approximately just a little over 2 years, with training and startup kind of getting us to a fall 2022 opening date. I apologize for these renderings here. They're some of our older ones, but they get at kind of defining the types of stations we have. Closer in on interdivision, many times our stations are integrated directly into the sidewalk, as you see in the upper left. At other times, we can pull them out, as you see on the right, upper right, into kind of a bulb out where the bus pulls right up in the travel lane, and pedestrian sidewalk usage kind of happens behind the platform itself. As we go out on Outer Division from 82nd out, we have a new type of station that where bikes and peds share some of the station footprint itself. We've been working with the City of Portland and our other regional partners to develop a new model for stations that not only work with bus rapid transit, but we'll also work with enhanced transit corridors and rolling out protected bike lanes that interface with bus stops across the region. I won't go into all the work that we've put into that, but we will be presenting this to the Design Commission on the 6th to provide a more kind of complete story around the design process, where it currently stands. And I think we'll be coming back to them in a series of smaller meetings to just kind of report out on progress. I believe that is it, just for a really brief kind of summary of the work to date, and then I'll turn it over to Metro to report out on the environmental work and historic resource overview. Thank you.
Let me just hold on 1 second, make sure anyone doesn't have questions for you. No?
Actually, out of curiosity, the pads for the stops, are they at sidewalk height or are they higher?
So some are elevated beyond the sidewalk, so they'll be in a range from 6 to 9 inches to improve the ease of boarding. Even at 6 inches, in many cases, the sidewalks have a very low kind of curb reveal. So in those cases, even though they're only 6, they'll be higher than the adjacent sidewalk. So it varies because we're in a fairly constrained corridor with a change of context kind of almost constantly along there. We have to be adaptable to kind of fit into that. But
yeah. So that would imply that there's sort of more extensive work that might need to happen to the sidewalk beyond the station to create sloping and ramping conditions.
Correct. We do chase some grade to get back down to the sidewalk grade as we kind of move out from the station.
And in some cases, this could affect property lines.
So this would probably be more akin to when we added light rail to the mall, and the existing 6-inch curb exposure in the light rail station areas had to come up to 10. And so it is there's a catch point at the back of the platform, and that's where we capture drainage and then take it out to the street. So it's we strive very, very hard to not go all the way to the face of building and just try and catch it in what the platform area is.
Okay, thank you.
One more question.
Just curious, so Division used to be 2 lanes in each direction, and over time they restricted the lanes with swales and whatnot. So how does this solve the traffic issue if the bus is still sitting behind cars that don't move anywhere through that whole section from 50th down to the Ford building?
Right, so the lanes configuration remains similar in that kind of inner division. We rely on really fewer stops over what exists today, because they're approximately a third of a mile. Really low dwell times. Loading at 3 doors kind of helps to expedite the loading of the bus itself. And then really a heavy reliance on transit signal priority, where the bus is communicating with the signal to not only move the bus through the signal, but to kind of flush the intersection of vehicles. So it's a multi-pronged approach.
And no consideration of maybe just dedicating that street to buses only during certain times of day, or the cars you're just stuck in the worst traffic right there. So
it's too important as a circulating street to eliminate it. When Michael talks about the traffic signals, what I actually wasn't aware of until we really got into the project is those signals out there don't talk to one another. It's not like the downtown core where the signal cycles are on an offset to progress traffic through. So the change with the signaling will be that the signals will be integrated and communicating. They'll be getting information from the buses as they approach to help facilitate movement through. It provides the opportunity for maybe keeping a green a little longer than it would normally have gotten in what we would call a fixed time signal. This would be the first corridor that we'll have implemented that in, and the intent is that it's technology that's actually on the buses themselves, which is much different than the kind of line of sight opticom buses use now.
emergency. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello. I warned you I'd be back. it's my pleasure to present kind of the Section 106 Historic Resources Overview for the Division Transit Project. And I wanted to introduce the project manager for Metro, Elizabeth Moras O'Hara. She has been kind of shuttling the project through, working very closely with the Federal Transit Administration to ensure that the agency complies with all aspects of Section 106, including the consultation requirement, which is the reason why we're here today, is to provide you an opportunity to for comments or any suggestions you may have in relationship to the historic properties that we recorded. So to date, there has been a series of consultations that have been undertaken, including we've distributed area potential effect letters to the consulting parties, which included the City of Portland. We have obtained SHPO concurrence with the area potential effect. There's been a series of Section 106 consulting party meetings on 10-9 and then also on October 12th. And there's also been some tribal outreach where we've distributed letters to the various tribes, had some communication with them in terms of information on the project, but we haven't heard much further. And at those meetings, there were folks there from the City of Portland, the City of Gresham, Multnomah County TriMet committees, and there were also TriMet committees where the public was there, and then also some open houses. So there's been a pretty broad outreach and to various folks for this project. So the area of potential effect on this project is non-contiguous because it's a 15-mile long project corridor, and it was largely dependent upon the placement of the project facilities and how likely they were to affect historic properties. And it includes areas where there's new potential stations, new ADA accessible pedestrian crossings or refuges, property acquisitions. So you'll see some very slender property acquisitions in a couple instances. There's also a requirement for construction easements, driveway closures and or relocations, and then also bikeway protection. The downtown area is not in the APE, primarily because the improvements that would occur in that area is restricted to just new signage, where they would be using existing infrastructure. So it would be essentially rebranding some of the stations to facilitate the project. And so in developing the approach to the project, we looked at several different previous projects, both in Oregon and in Washington. And that included the Northeast-Southeast 50s Bikeway Project, which was a collaborative effort between the Portland Bureau of Transportation, ODOT, Federal Highways back in 2012, the Tacoma Link expansion, which was it's a light rail project, I believe, through Sound Transit and with FTA being the lead federal agency. And then probably the most pertinent project of them all was the Division Street Reconstruction Project, which occurred between Southeast 6th and Southeast 39th, which was a project, again, between ODOT and Federal Highways when that was completed, at least the environmental process was completed in 2012. And then we also have the South Corridor, Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail project. So all of these projects helped us to better understand not only the project area, but also the overall approach to developing the area potential effect, the inventory, and an approach to avoiding or minimizing impacts of the project. And so when we looked at some of these previous projects, like the South Corridor Portland Mall Light Rail project, we saw where they had installed stations in front of both a National Register eligible and listed properties, but also a National Historic Landmark. So at Northwest 5th and Cooch, for instance, on the right-hand side of Northwest 5th that you see on the right hand of that picture on the it's the Old Town Chinatown Historic District. And on the left, you have a series of National Register eligible buildings. And a station was placed right in front of those buildings with a pedestrian pass through in the back. And there was a determination of no adverse effect by the FTA with the concurrence of the Oregon SHPO. And the same for this new station in front of the Pioneer Courthouse that you see on the other side of this slide. Again, it was a no adverse effect finding by the FTA and with the concurrence of the Oregon SHPO. This is kind of a useful slide just to show the before and after for the streetcar loop project in 2012. This is the new Stoddard building, also known as Restoration Hardware, where they installed a new elevated platform for the streetcar in front of the building. You can see the elevated platform right here in addition to a stormwater swale right there. And again, the FTA came away with a no adverse effect finding and that received the concurrence of the SHPO as well. So I think one of the common denominators with a lot of these projects is that the streetscapes, various streetscapes in Portland have changed pretty dramatically over time. And this is just one of the differences that we noted along Southeast Division was the presence of a large electrical distribution line that used to be there in the 1950s isn't there now. But that's just to give you an indication of how dramatically sometimes these visual landscapes can change. There's also just outside of the photograph, a large billboard that you don't see there anymore. But again, you used to see a lot more of those on Division during the historic period. So we performed an architectural field survey and provided recommendations to the FTA. And I like to think of inventory or field survey as an inverted triangle where we start out with a lot of resources and we kind of whittle things down to a smaller, more manageable number when we consider a project effects. So we identified 274 resources built prior to 1975. Chose that date because that's approximately 50 years from project build date. We always add a little bit of a buffer in there just in case of unforeseen circumstances, but to make sure we take into account all the resources we can. Of the 274, there were 223 that are not eligible or demolished. So there was during the reconstruction project, for instance, I think there were about 15 buildings that were recorded that aren't there now. So that was just in a very brief amount of time. The Division Street is encountering quite a bit of change. So of the remaining resources, we found that 51 were potentially eligible. But of those, 41 of them we felt would have minimal to no adverse effects. And I'll review with you why we think they're minimal effects to those particular resources. And there were 10 resources that we undertook a more intensive effects analysis at, and we'll review some of those that are located within the cities, within the city of Portland. But at the end of the day, we found that there were no adverse effects to historic properties for this project. So here are some examples of properties that are not eligible for the National Register. 3415 Southeast Division is one example of one of the buildings that was demolished and it's been replaced. And the remaining properties all have been significantly altered over time, including 5931 Southeast Division. So it's a nice coffee shop at the corner there, right near the gatehouse, which we'll talk about in a minute. But this is a building that there was a rehabilitation of this building relatively recently, is 2016, 2017, but you can see just how much it's changed since the date of its original construction, particularly the loss of the transom windows in the large storefronts. So we had two properties that are listed in the National Register within our APE, Ladd's Addition Historic District, which in terms of the project area, it's between Southeast 12th and Southeast 20th. And then we also have the Gatehouse, which is formerly associated with the City Reservoir number 2. And that's at the corner of Southeast 60th and Division. Here are some examples of properties that we are recommended as eligible for the National Register. They included both houses, businesses, as well as several apartment buildings. And we'll review those in the next couple slides. So this is kind of a representative example of those 41 resources that we felt would be minimally affected by the project. So this is a home that's situated at the corner of Southeast 27th and Division. And it would be about a property over from where the station would be. So the primary impact would be a change to its visual environment. And on this drawing, you also see the loss of a couple of street trees that are in front of this new apartment building. And if you see in the background, the setting surrounding this resource has been substantially changed already. And so there's not much from an intact setting standpoint that could be affected, that could be impacted in terms of its association with the resource. So this is where we made a recommendation of no adverse effect. And this is fairly representative of that type of an effect, where that would be where the property would just have a view of where a new station would be. So for Ladd's Addition Historic District, the district, again, is from Southeast 12th to 20th. It's listed in the National Register, and we're recommending a no adverse effect. One of the interesting things about this historic district is that the boundary extends into the middle of Southeast Division. And so for the project, they have basically three stations that are close to Ladd's Addition. Two of them lie outside the historic district boundary, and the third one is located right at kind of the corner where the brand new building is at, I guess, Southeast 21st and Division. And so the new station would be immediately beside this building. So again, this is a situation where the setting in this part of Ladd's Addition has been significantly changed through new construction and also through the reconstruction project. And so there's not much more of the project would not lend additional impacts that would be deemed adverse in this circumstance. In terms of the effects analysis for the gatehouse by reservoir number two, this was a little bit more tricky because the actual historic property, you have a parcel there with this building on it. It's actually a house. Someone lives in it right now. But you also have a series of basalt walls as well as a staircase right at that corner. And all of those elements are actually in the right-of-way. They're not on the private property. And so there was some intimate planning that went into making sure that we developed an avoidance strategy to make sure that we didn't alter the stairs or the wing walls or the basalt retaining walls that you see there. And so with those avoidance measures, we made a recommendation of no adverse effect. And this is just to kind of demonstrate how the project underwent some changes in an effort to avoid the resource. Essentially what happened in this circumstance is that the crossing for, I think, both Division and Southeast 60th were offset in order to make sure that they didn't come into an intersection with the wing walls at all. So, this is the Fallis Court Apartments. We recommended it as eligible for the National Register, and it's another circumstance where actually the station would be located right in front of the building. It would be one of those pedestrian pass-through stations, I believe. And there is an easement that is required for ADA accessibility, and it's really tiny. It's like right there. It's just so that they can maneuver the construction equipment around to make sure they can build the ADA accessible crossing. There would be no impact to the building during the need for that easement. It's just a small little sliver of property that they would require, and that would be returned back to its original condition when construction is done. There would be removal of a couple of the street trees that you see in front of the building. Those are not historic, they're relatively a recent vintage. And in addition to that, with the construction of a new platform and shelter, which would be transparent, that would be a change to the resources setting. But again, we're talking about a setting, streetscape, that's been altered over time, with as there are bus stops located throughout the corridor. The same is for the Loudon Apartments. This is kind of an interesting mid-century modern apartment complex. This we recommended as eligible with no adverse effect. They would need a little bit larger construction easement for station construction. And that easement is in the green right there, where they would may need to do some vegetation removal, just again to maneuver construction equipment around. But it would be returned back to its pre-existing pre-construction appearance and function. They wouldn't need it to acquire it and incorporate it into the transportation facility. So again, it would just be another shelter and platform akin to what we showed earlier. This is the Delane Court Apartments. It's located around 67th and Southeast Division. It's a whole series of apartments that extend back from the street. And you can kind of see they're all U-shaped arrangements. They have some parking shelters too for vehicles. And one of the interesting things about this complex is that the vegetation is certainly integral to the way it was designed. And they have these two really nice pin oaks that are located at the head of each one of the division-facing buildings. And so we needed to make sure, quite a bit of planning went into making sure that we developed an approach to retain the retaining wall, which is currently there that you can see here. There is a construction easement that's required, and that construction easement is, it's not here, I'll show you on the next slide. And then in order to make sure that they don't damage the tree, they're gonna have an arborist work closely with the design team to make sure that they minimize any potential impacts for the tree, either during potential pruning or if the roots are exposed during construction to make sure that they don't harm it. So they're going to be undertaking some best practices in terms of tree protection during construction. And this is how the design evolved over time. So on the bottom, you see how originally they were going to need both an easement and an acquisition. And that was slimmed down to only require an easement. So all they'll need to do is just be able to maneuver around that retaining wall. They're not going to need to acquire anything. And then there's another requirement for an easement for this ADA accessible crossing right there, which is really small. And I think one of the last resources we'll talk about is actually the first Albertsons in Oregon. And it's located at 174th and Southeast Division. We're recommending it as eligible. This is another situation where they need a platform and a shelter. They're also going to need an acquisition of a small slender strip of property, and that's that this little red area along the very edge there, and then also along there, and then also a easement again to maneuver equipment around to build the station and platform. And it's a very small percentage of the total property. It's less than 1%. So in terms of archaeological resources, we undertook a literature review. And within the 1 mile radius of the project area, there were 41 archaeological sites and two noted archaeological sites that are in the SHPO GIS maps. But there were no previously recorded archaeological resources in the APE. Some of the examples of archaeological resources within the mile include a historic cemetery, debris concentration, structural remains, or debris sites, and a possible Indian camp. And the SHPO maps have big blobs on them, and that's typically just a reflection of a historical source as opposed to kind of a confirmed location for those Indian camps. So we developed an approach to make sure we took that into account. So the archaeological APE is about 100 acres, and that's spread out over about 15 miles. In terms of how archaeological resources would be impacted, it would primarily be through ground disturbance, where, but most of the project elements would include pretty minor ground disturbances, mostly less than 2 feet in depth, but there are some notable exceptions. The least depth would be needed for the ramps, the station platforms, and work areas. And some of the exceptions would be where they need to relocate a utility, develop a dry well, or to install signal poles. Those poles require quite a bit of depth, that they're usually using some type of auger to go down to that depth. They're not digging huge gaping holes to install those facilities. So our archaeological resources approach is informed by the fact that most of the APE is paved. So we are not able to do any subsurface investigations to get at what might be underneath the pavement. We also took a look at how previous projects have impacted the roadway. The biggest one being the Division Street Reconstruction Project, where they did quite a bit amount of soil disturbance in relationship to that particular project. And this is just kind of a representative slide of some of the work that occurred within the right-of-way for that project. We do have a couple of historic streetcar lines that we've identified in advance. There were crossings mostly. There was not a streetcar actually along Division, thank goodness. So they were crossings at Southeast 11th, 12th, and Southeast 50th. They do sometimes little jogs, so they may be on the street for about a block or so, but nothing more than that. So our recommendation for archaeological resources was no effects, primarily because there were no previously identified resources in the APE. There's been a high degree of pre-existing surficial soil disturbance due to the nature of the development. And what we're proposing is fairly minimal in terms of soil disturbance. In order to address potential effects, we've developed an inadvertent discovery plan and a monitoring plan in select areas in the APE to make sure that we try to minimize that potential risk from discoveries even more. Okay, and that's the end of the presentation, and we're here to answer any questions.
Excuse me, anyone want to start?
I just have one question, Kirk, about the archaeological blobs you mentioned.
Yes.
Where exactly are these blobs?
I can't really disclose that, just primarily because they are the archaeological report is an appendix in the larger historical report.
I see.
And so the stuff that is on those maps is confidential. Oh. And usually the federal agency kind of exempts that from FOIA.
I see.
Yeah.
So with your mitigation or your monitoring plan and whatnot,
yep.
Presumably you know where those blobs are, so you're going to be especially vigilant during when you're in those areas versus
absolutely. We've overlaid the project plans onto basically the GIS layer that CHPO has.
I see.
And wherever we saw overlaps in terms of proposed soil disturbance with like being close to a site or actually in one of those camps, we're proposing monitoring. And that's been, I think, fairly consistent with what we've seen for some of the light rail projects that have gone through the very similar project area. So, yeah.
So can you tell us how many of these camps are?
There's two. There's one on the east side and one on the west side.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
And I don't think any of the investigations that have occurred within those camps have found pre-contact material.
Okay.
There's a lot of just urban, like mid-19th century stuff that has been, and the soil there has been really churned up quite a bit by that. So you have a lot of historical stuff that's usually in the way of anything that may survive pre-contact.
I see. Okay, thanks. Great, thanks.
Yep.
This might be a little bit outside of your review, but there's a series of recently installed bronze sculptures on stones situated at least from 11th to 39th. Did you guys, is there anyone looking at those and how they'll be affected by this?
I have a question about the stamps on the sidewalks. Have you, because I didn't see anything, and are you guys trying to preserve them, or is it in a relocation or anything regarding it?
We didn't. There was, during the reconstruction project, those elements were recorded in, like, not only the stamps, but also utility plate covers, like curb protectors, or these little iron elements that were on the sidewalk. And it was in ODOT's opinion at that time that they were not considered historic properties. And so the reconstruction project was allowed to proceed. And I think and so since they're not considered historic properties unto themselves, and they weren't considered contributing resources even with the LAD Historic District, we didn't record them. And it was just to be consistent with what ODOT had done before.
Because I understand, at least I was told in Vancouver, they were doing some of the projects on the street and they actually cut it off in pieces, move it, and then put it back in the right in the place where they were, even though after they did all the work on the sidewalk, which would be a nicer, good thing to do because it's part of the history.
Right. I mean, I suppose we could, you know, we could reach out to, or...
I've also seen in Southeast Portland where they don't take the original piece, but they'll put the original date down and then the new date. So basically, from a historic standpoint, you know at least when that original sidewalk was poured. It's not lost. So
That's right. Cutting out and putting back wouldn't work very well in this situation, but our standard is whether it's the horse rings that are in an existing curb or the stamping that was done. We have a set of stamps that we loan out to the projects and we put the rings back as well. Yeah.
I have a couple questions. One of them is just related to the overall street standards on Division. In some of your photos, you know, clearly a lot of Division is pretty urban now, pretty, you know, it's not residential, if it even ever was in some parts of it. So, you know, there's the more urban streetscape where you have street trees and, you know, those are in wells typically and, you know, sort of a wider sidewalk. But then as we get a little further out, there are parts of Division that have the more sort of linear planting strip, right? And I wonder if there is a point at which that shifts, existing standards, and if there is now a new proposal to kind of make all of this a more standard streetscape. Can you talk a little bit about that? Do you?
Yeah, I don't know enough about that, but
I can
be open to
Keybot
and Richard.
So the character and nature of inner Division is always going to be different than outer Division. It has to do with roadway widths. It has to do with the amount of development. The place that's going to look the most different is what we would call outer Division, where we will be removing the on-street parking to make protected bike lanes. And the city has, Peabot has a separate project that's going to be adding some center medians in that area east of I-205, essentially,
okay,
to help provide.
That's kind of the shift.
To help provide better crossings. And those will be planted. So the segments of the corridor were never going to look alike, and they still aren't going to look alike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, shows the evolution of the street, I suppose. So that's. Thank you.
Sure.
And then I have a kind of a bigger question for Kirk and Patience, which is regarding the Mount Tabor Historic District. And I didn't see it on your list. And that kind of concerns me because I know that, you know, it comes down to Division.
Yeah, it does.
So,
it So it intersects Division right near the project area that we just looked at, as a matter of fact, the maintenance yard. That's where
exactly
where the intersection is. And so the stations are not going to be located in close proximity to the maintenance yard. So I don't even think they would have necessarily a view of one of the stations. And so basically when we did our survey, we really tried to focus on areas that would have a view of the station or where the station would be right in front of it.
Okay.
So that's why like Old Town Chinatown, the Halperin, Mount Tabor, and I think that was it. But those four districts are intersecting with the project line somewhere, but not necessarily within the APE. And that was,
okay.
That was it.
So, I mean, I do know that there are some sidewalks along Division, you know, along that maintenance yard that have, you know, the big old cedars, and they don't necessarily meet width standards. And so are you just planning on leaving all that as is?
Yeah,
it's not going to change.
Yeah, if it's not in our direct or indirect APE, then project funds would not be expended on them.
Yeah. Okay. And then one other related question with that. I know just this last year, there was a project to put in a new crossing into the park for bikeways. And I think that occurs at like 62nd, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right? 64th? Can't quite remember, but just wanted to make sure that that had been taken into consideration in terms of, you know, where that crossing occurs, and in terms of.
I think it may have been covered during the previous bikeways project section 106 process, from my recollection, because we did the analysis for that project too.
Okay.
So yeah, I think that it was taken into account. I don't remember specifically what the outcome was, but I mean, that project was a no adverse effect as well. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I don't think I have any other questions. Anybody else? Okay. I do have a list of folks who signed up to give testimony, but I believe it's all your project team. So I would open it up if anyone would like to, you know, say anything about this project. You are more than welcome to. I would just need your name on this sheet, but otherwise I'm going to assume that you're all kind of covered here.
Yeah, sad to say, somebody passes a sheet of paper out and asks for your info. So we all very dutifully, okay, we signed up. Yeah.
Okay, very good. Very good. So I think that's it for your part. Thank you very much. And commissioners, we're asked to consider writing a letter. And I wondered if anyone had any discussion points or things to talk about for such a letter, if we feel like that's warranted.
But before we embrace or don't embrace the project, I don't think this is a land use decision, but I do want to disclose that I live at almost 37th and Division, and my wife rides the bus almost every day. So.
There you go. Okay. I mean, I personally think it would be great for us to write a brief letter of support. I do feel like this project is, not going to cause any impacts to historic properties. I'm glad to see that they were very careful around historic properties such as the gatehouse. So I'm certainly willing to put together a little half pager if anyone supports that.
I do. I was going to say it would be also helpful. I like Commissioner Fuenmayor's comment. Since it's so much, 15 miles of sidewalk, if there are areas where there's potentially a historic sidewalk, just to note that. Right now it's too overwhelming to imagine. So I thought that was a good point.
I do have to disclose that I did a survey on the sidewalks in 2010, mm-hmm. from 6th Avenue to 39th Avenue for all the historic resources that were on the sidewalks, including all the stamps and all the rings and everything. So
include that in our letter.
Exactly.
Super helpful. That's good to know.
Just I don't know if you guys know the history of the, you know, they were going to basically tear out all of Division for a freeway to Mount Hood. And citizens that live in that neighborhood have been visioning Division for a long time, and there have been a lot of planning processes. I know the local neighborhood association board right now has a woman who I won't get her name out, but I think it's Heather Clinto or something like that. But she's done a lot of work sort of writing some design guidelines, so to speak, for the inner Division, sort of design excellence. You know, how do we vision something here? So anyway, if we were to write a letter at all, I would say I hope that what they do reinforces some of the previous work that's gone on. And I mentioned the sculptures that were part of a previous vision for Division. So anyway, hopefully this.
I think that's a good point.
It's a heavily trafficked. I mean, I've lived there for over 20 years. It's a heavily trafficked road now. It didn't used to be so heavily trafficked, and it used to be a lot more capacity. And so, just from my own perspective, I know that buses go by; they're totally full by the time they get to 37th. They're completely full. So it's definitely a need for more capacity for buses.
But it will be good to have like a comprehensive plan, more than just one more things to fix traffic, and then what else we do for train fixing this. It's more like a whole transit area that needs to be taken as a whole, not as a specific problem. So mm-hmm.
Okay,
I will support the letter, and I don't know, I can
great
read it and add
would you
anything.
Like to help?
I will help
you.
Yeah,
and I can,
if
okay.
you can start it, I will
sounds
help.
Good. All right, then.
Could Teresa, so there's a letter. When do you want it?
Oh, good question.
Do you like, is it a month? Do you need it tomorrow?
Right.
I think we just want it for file. So at your convenience, okay. knowing that is what's going to happen, we'll just make note for our own records and await your timing.
Okay. Thanks.
If we're going to put it in the record, the Oregon SHPO is going to be completing their review, and we're anticipating getting that in mid-December. So
okay. And Elizabeth, is
yes,
that
it is,
from
yeah.
Metro?
Yes.
Would you just state your full name in the record?
My name
is
Elizabeth Marissa O'Hara. I'm the
perfect.
Project manager from Metro leading the NEPA process.
Thank you so much. That's great. And yes, SHPO. I can go along with that. Okay. Thanks. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Commissioner.
Prior to the next item, I think I have some procedural